are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, October 16th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, founder of Tarbell.org, author of Deadly Spin and Nation on the Take, reformed health insurance industry executive Wendell Potter, on Donald Trump's adoption of Obamacare. Meanwhile, Puerto Rico's healthcare infrastructure collapsing. As casualties up to 43 dead and growing. Oral arguments in a federal court over the emoluments suit start this week in New York. And our Iraqi troops trying to retake Kirkuk from the Kurds. Meanwhile, Trump's new National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration head, not a science guy, but does have a huge conflict of interest. Then Chad stops fighting Boko Haram after Trump's travel ban. Kaepernick files a grievance against NFL owners. The Me Too hashtag trends in the wake of Harvey Weinstein, I guess, just fall from grace, as it were. And Donald Trump treats Mike Pence like it's actually the dynamic from the President's Show. All that and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, first, folks, let me just start with, I got an email from Fred, formerly from Connecticut College, who is living in Seoul, Korea. And he created two Facebook groups, one being the Majority Report International. So if you are an international listener of the Majority Report, you can head over to that Facebook. And one is specifically for Korea, which is also on Facebook. And we have both those links. And one of the things that's going to happen when we do get our new blog, and I guess I implied our new website, I guess I implied that it was going to be ready like a week ago. And I shouldn't have done that. It's close. We're dangerously close. But we will have a page designed specifically for stuff like this, where if you're interested, hey, I want to go to a meetup, or what is that organization in Virginia that I can get involved with, or is there a Facebook page for people who are listening to the program in Chad, let's say, we will place all of that in a specific section of the website. So don't necessarily send us the links now, but get them ready. Get them ready. And we have a full complement of people in the studio today. The Majority Report juggernaut just really is like, we're at full capacity. Matt is here. Michael is back from his weekly vacation.
It was an educational experience.
I'm sure.
In about a week, a little over a week, though.
You don't need to say. Just it's much better when you spring on us. of course, Brendan is here. Yeah, right. He's already getting cold. Brendan is here, as is Jamie. And I should say, it reminds me, are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to get the best candidates? Well, ask yourself, what if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, less time-consuming? So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate. I know all of this, folks, but I wised up And I used ZipRecruiter for the last round of hiring. And sitting on our couch right now, Brendan is... Brendan, why don't you tell folks how you came to this program?
Folks, if you're sitting on your couch in your apartment, get on ZipRecruiter right now.
Wow, look at that.
You got a great one-click apply deal. And if you... Tell them about our deal.
We actually did find Brendan through ZipRecruiter. And I'll tell you how that happened. I don't know how he found it, but I do know that with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart technology to work. It basically matches stuff up against what you're looking for from what people present themselves as in on these job sites. And it works. It wasn't, it was a hard choice. Honestly, the hires were, I had over 150 candidates for these two jobs. Yeah. And many of whom I put just in the next time Michael takes a vacation column.
Oh, so that's pretty soon.
80% of employers who post ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. I had multiple quality candidates through the site in one day.
Do you like research? Do you hate Jimmy Dore?
And the best part, I didn't have to juggle any emails, no calls to the office. We don't even have a phone here. Simply screen, rate, and manage all candidates in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. Brendan made a point of saying that we have a deal, and we do. Right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/majority. That's ZipRecruiter.com/majority. One more time, try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/majority. You know what I say, the best time to look for somebody to hire is when you don't need anybody. And folks, my diet with Nikki is over. I did not win. But the one thing that we did not, neither one of us gave up over the whole month that we had a diet competition. I sort of tried to reinvigorate it from what I did with Break Room Live with Marin. Didn't work out as well this time for me. I don't have the same resentment of my wife as I did of Mark Maron. But we did not give up our Blue Apron. And Blue Apron is celebrating its fifth anniversary by bringing back its top 20 recipes from throughout the past 5 years. That's crazy. I can only imagine how good those are. You can try out Blue Apron's all-time customer faves by going, and I just added that myself. The copy says favorites, and I called it faves. By going to blueapron.com/majority. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-proportioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You can customize your recipes each week based upon your preferences. We're almost like 100% seafood now. Seafood or no meat whatsoever. I guess it's not
pescatarian.
Yeah, I guess we're sort of pescatarian as far as Blue Apron's concerned. Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs, and there's no weekly commitment, so you only get the deliveries you want. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card, pre-proportioned ingredients, and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first meal with free shipping. That'll feed a family of 3.7 like we have by going to blueapron.com/majority. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. That's blueapron.com/majority. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, let's play this clip of Steve Bannon. Because certainly, and I got to be honest with you, there are multiple things that Trump did over the past week that are going to, that should present the situation where he owns Obamacare. And they're attempting to make it fail, and it's unclear at this point, like, what ultimately the strategy is. because I've seen different takes now on what Bannon is going to brag about here as to whether or not it's actually going to create more winners than losers in the system. But it's certainly creating a lot of uncertainty. And there are other things that that Trump signed last week that are going to make the system even more rickety. The best parts of this, of course, were the Medicaid expansion and the patient protections. It's unclear, at least where the patient protections stand. They can't touch Medicaid except for, obviously, in those Republican states, for the time being, I should say. But here's Steve Bannon bragging to the Values Voter Summit, because they vote on values. I don't know what those values are.
I think you do.
I do know what they are.
Yeah, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said it's going to be a middle-class tax cut, and it's going to have the small business tax cut. This is going to be middle-class and for working-class people.
Pause it for one moment. I just want to remind you that when Mnuchin was asked about this on CNN, I think it was, he said, well, that wasn't a promise. That was actually less of a promise and a pledge and more of like an idea.
I always said, like, I hope you stay in your house, okay?
That's right.
It's aspirational.
Yeah, so just to correct Bannon, because this talk did take place after 10 a.m., so, you know, things get a little loose after that time.
Actually, this is going to be middle class and for working class people, I guarantee you. Then you had Obamacare, not going to make the CSR payments, going to blow that thing up, going to blow those exchanges up, right?
Pause it. This is not going to be terribly helpful for Trump or the Republicans when they argue that it has collapsed on its own accord when Steve Bannon is bragging that they're doing this to blow it up. But I don't think Steve Bannon actually shares that same project as those people. So,
and lo and behold, we're going to decertify and get out of the Rand deal.
Yeah. That's unclear that they're going to get out of the Iran deal. They've actually kicked the can over to Congress. But I've got to ask about Bannon. We're going to look into this more in the second half. Where did his Southern accent return from? And B, why is he so out of breath in that very slow-paced presentation of what he was talking about? I mean, the guy was completely out of breath.
Remember, you're from Sex and the City. Gotta blow that up.
So
I tried to get a writing credit on Sex and the City. I didn't get it, and now we're gonna have fascism.
There you go.
Fuck all of you.
There's your Steve Bannon for the day. Hey, folks, holiday business gifting is fast approaching. Oh, wow, that's true. This year, you can choose gifts that are simple to give joy and to get. Choose Omaha Steaks. Huge variety. From premium steaks to skillet meals. You can personalize one-on-one service, easy to order. When we got our gift pack, that was about a year ago now, or maybe 6 months ago. I can't remember when it was. Wait, it was over the summer. It was like Memorial Day weekend. I have never seen such activity. I've never seen such alacrity in this office as I saw going for grabbing that stuff.
It's amazing how fast Matt can move.
It's very cool. Exactly.
It's all like, do-do-do. So all of a sudden, he moves like his books.
It's gourmet food. It's a holiday gift. It never disappoints. And you can personalize each gift for a more meaningful experience. Just for my listeners, enjoy special holiday pricing on the perfect business gift. You don't have to give it just for business, too. That's the dirty little secret. They'll never know. It's an ideal holiday gift for your clients, employees, partners. Well, maybe your boss, guys.
Maybe not in a certain sense.
It includes 4 bacon-wrapped tri-tip steaks, 4 Omaha Steak burgers, 4 gourmet Franks, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 free caramel apple tartlets, plus you get free shipping. The whole exclusive holiday gift package is only $59.99. Go to omahasteaks.com, type report in the search bar and choose the perfect business gift. You got to type it in the search bar. They're sneaky about this. You got to type report in the search bar because not everybody gets this deal. Again, visit omahasteaks.com, enter code report in the search bar to send or experience this exclusive gift package for only $59.99, and it ships for free. All right, going to take a quick break. When we come back, Wendell Potter, founder of Tarbell.org. We'll be right back. We are back, Sam Seder on the Majority Report. It is a pleasure to welcome back to the program, author of Deadly Spin and Nation on the Take. He's a reformed health insurance industry executive and the founder of Tarbell.org, which is, Wendell, is that launching basically this week?
We're going to be launching the crowdfunding campaign to get this really up and running. The crowdfunding campaign starts on October the 23rd, which is Monday. From a week from today. And it's one of the most ambitious crowdfunding for journalism projects ever undertaken in this country. We want to raise quite a bit of money. We've already raised enough to get us to this stage. We've been laying the platform or the groundwork for this for now more than a year, and we're getting so darn close. We think that we can raise a significant amount of money and through our crowdfunding campaign to produce some of the most important journalism this country's ever seen.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it, and we'll put that link on our site at majority.fm. Wendell, over the years, and I guess we've known each other for quite some time, I have learned so much about the health insurance industry from you after you sort of crossed over from the dark side into the side of light after your time. As an insurance, you were in the communications department there, right? Is that right?
That's right. I actually worked for two big health insurance companies over 20 years. First, it was Humana, and then Cigna. And at in different times, I ran the communications shops for both of those big companies. So I was a guy who was the chief spokesman for those companies, and I helped craft communications plans, strategies to try to influence public opinion the way that we wanted public opinion to be shaped.
All right. So let's, with that said, let's dig into what's taken place over the past week and a half. I mean, I know you and I have talked many times in the past about the shortcomings of the Affordable Care Act. Right now we're looking at something, I don't know. So the Frankenstein version of the Affordable Care Act, I guess, is where we're headed under Trump. Give us a sense of like now. This week we saw multiple executive orders that really don't do anything the moment they launch. Right? They basically task different departments to do certain things. Let's talk about those. Like what? Tell us about those executive orders and what they mean.
Well, some of the most damaging parts of the executive orders would take us back to the days before the Affordable Care Act was passed, in which so many Americans were enrolled in junk insurance plans, plans that had relatively low premiums but didn't cover much of anything. So people were really buying junk insurance, and this would enable that to happen once again. The executive orders, as you correctly noted, instructs the various departments of government involved in this to come up with new regulations, and there has to be a period of time in which the public can comment on what they come up with. So it's going to take a little while before this can be implemented, and hopefully maybe never implemented at all. As you probably know, some attorneys general in several states have announced they're filing litigation against the government to try to block this from happening, but it could go forward.
So, all right. So one of the one set of the regulations allows for the creating of associations, right? I mean, tell us what is that? And I should say, too, I mean, just as just so that I put a pin in this for folks, that the full name of the Affordable Care Act was actually the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act. And it was the patient protection stuff that made our insurance be something other than just insurance in name only.
Yeah. In fact, it's regrettable that that part of the name just kind of disappeared, because that was, in my view, the most important part of the legislation, some of the most important. Yeah, bringing people into coverage is very important. But making insurance companies behave better, to be more consumer-focused, and to stop doing things that they should have not done ever anyway, like selling junk insurance and dropping people from the policies when they got sick, charging women more than men. A lot of these things were changed by the Affordable Care Act. They were true patient protection. What the president wants to do is take us back to the days when insurance companies could get away with that and more. Association health plans, it's not a new concept, but it would really be devastating to so many people. It enables small businesses in particular to band together in an association and to circumvent the rules and regulations in the state in which they're based to put together the health insurance policies that might not even cover hospitalization, that would not cover people with pre-existing conditions, would charge people who are older far more than people who are younger. It gives them the flexibility to do that. It essentially gives them the ability to do things that big employers do, but go far off into a bad direction of enabling them to really take advantage of workers. What this essentially is a means for some employers to say to their prospective workers, we've got health insurance. We can give you some coverage that you need. And I've seen this happen before. A lot of people sign up for that. They fall for that, thinking they're getting real coverage, when in fact it's almost worthless. In fact, it's probably worse than worthless, because people think they're getting coverage that'll protect them, and they often find when it's too late that they just don't have the protection that they thought they had. Trump talked a lot, if you recall, during the campaign about removing the invisible lines, as he said, around the states. Well, that is just the exact opposite of what most Republicans talk about states' rights. This would strip state regulators from having the power to protect their consumers, because it would enable these associations to go into the state with the least consumer protection, set up business there, and sell policies from there. And if anyone, say in New York, signed up for a policy that was created and based in Mississippi, the New York regulators would have very little ability to protect the consumers of New York.
Now, so here's the part that I'm a little bit confused about this. My understanding is that for whatever reason, Health and Human Services basically changed a rule that said you can buy, you can do that aspect of it. If you are an employer providing insurance, you can actually buy sign up for a plan in a different state that may have different regulations, because they changed that regulation because the Affordable Care Act created a floor. So they were feeling like, well, okay, we have We have now basically created a bottom line for what constitutes health insurance. So if there's slight differences from state to state, that's fine. It doesn't make any difference. They reversed that. And so how does... So it may be the case now that if I'm in New York and I'm an employer and I want to go to, let's say, Alabama and buy my health insurance there because they don't care about the people who live in that state and their right. government.
Right.
How is it that Alabama would be allowed to skirt the initial restrictions that the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act imposed upon insurance in that state?
Well, for one thing, it makes small employers eligible for a federal law that's been around for a long time that gives big employers some exemption from, if you will, from state laws and even some federal laws, or it's a federal law. So it supersedes a lot of the state laws, which is something that big employers would take advantage of because they have employers all across the country, and that makes sense for them. And most of them are they do it in good faith. They offer policies with good benefits or pretty good benefits for all their workers. This would give them the same protection, the same ability to be exempt from state laws, but the employers, these associations, would be able to sell and provide really skimpy coverage. So the thing is, the Affordable Care Act, or even, here's what is disingenuous partly about this. Insurance companies can sell coverage across state lines already.
Right.
In fact, Georgia and Rhode Island and a number of states threw out the welcome mat, and they didn't get any takers because it takes a lot of money for an insurance company to set up business in a new state, to learn the regulations of that state, but more importantly, to have enough size to be able to cut good deals with providers, with hospitals and doctors. And if you don't have good size, a big size of going into it, you're not going to get those good deals. If you don't get those good deals, you're not going to be able to sell policies at a competitive price. So it's kind of a chicken and the egg kind of thing.
The bar to entry in these states, the bar to entry into new states is extremely high.
Extraordinarily high. Any state, doesn't matter. It's extraordinarily high because you have a situation in which there are, over time, a few insurers have gotten to be very dominant. They've got the good deals. And if you're coming into a market fresh, you don't have anybody signed up. And so you're not going to get the same kind of treatment, the same kind of deals that a big Blue Cross plan that's been there for 50 years is going to get.
So, okay. So what of the short-term plans? Tell us what those are and what the implications are. I guess Trump has signed an EO promoting the extension of these things from 3 months to a year. Is that right?
That's right. It is possible to buy some short-term coverage, and some people are in situations in which that makes sense. These can, again, circumvent the letter and the intention of the Affordable Care Act by letting insurers sell policies that don't comply with what most insurance plans have to comply with the Affordable Care Act in terms of benefits and pre-existing conditions and things like that. So that's a problem. A lot of people will be in these plans longer than they otherwise would have been. What this does and what our market does in this country, it forces people to gamble on their lives, on whether or not they're going to be healthy a week from today or a month from today and not get hit by a car. Most people who buy these policies and who will unfortunately buy, I think, these association health plan policies, maybe young people who think that I've been healthy, I'm going to stay healthy. But people can get sick at any time and injured and rack up huge medical bills. It's something we can't anticipate or control. But we in this country, because of the market that's set up and will be made even worse if this executive order actually goes forward, we already, even with the Affordable Care Act, we're the only country in the developed world where people, even with insurance, have to file often for bankruptcy because of high medical bills. A lot of people are in high deductible plans, which were not, unfortunately, outlawed by the Affordable Care Act. And some of those deductibles are so high that people just can't pay out of pocket what they're obligated to pay. And it's why so many people go to these outdoor clinics, like the remote area medical clinics around the country. They have insurance, but they're in high deductible plans. They just don't have enough money to see a doctor, or go, certainly to go to the hospital.
Okay, so and is there are there any other things that come out of that executive order other than the cost subsidy payments? Because
that's a very good point, because that was a separate thing. One of the other actions that that the administration is doing is cutting off the subsidies that make it possible for people to buy coverage that's more affordable and to help them cover their out-of-pocket expenses. With that money going away, a lot of people will just not sign up for insurance because they won't be able to afford it. Trump talks about bailing this being a bailout for the insurance industry. It's true that the money goes through the insurance companies, but it is for the benefit of people who are low- and middle-income Americans, so that they can pay the premiums and cover their out-of-pocket expenses. Sam, you know as well as I do, I hate our system because it has failed, and the Affordable Care Act doesn't really fix it. It just puts a Band-Aid on an ugly system, as Uwe Reinhardt, the Princeton economist, has said. But it's where we are, and there were some important protections. Now we're stripping away some of the important protections and taking away money from low and middle-income people so that they can buy coverage. It's just a tragedy.
All right. So now, maybe you can help me with this, because I've seen some stuff that has been written that suggest these cost-sharing reduction subsidies, that the way that they're going about this may actually make it the insurance cheaper for some people. So this is, and I don't know. I honestly, this stuff is too. This is too difficult for me to work through on some level. But my understanding is this: we have the premium tax credits are a subsidy for people making between 100 and 400% of the federal poverty line. Let's just assume this is a state that is not where Medicaid has not been expanded to 133% of poverty. So you get tax credits that will fill the gap between the amount of money that you pay and the premium that comes with the second least expensive silver plan. I can't believe how kludgy this is. But the cost sharing reduction subsidies deal with people who are getting between 100% or excuse me, between 200% and 400% of the the federal poverty line. And that for some people, the cost of insurance for like gold plans will go down because of how just sort of intricate this formula is. And for the life of me, I mean, two things arise. One, can you explain this? And two, like, why do we have to have a system that is so ridiculous?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to answer that second one first, because we have the system that is so ridiculous because we are leaving the healthcare industry in the hands of companies that are beholden to Wall Street. That's why, and they are able to write huge campaign checks to Democrats as well as Republicans. Their lobbying is extraordinarily effective, so they have the ability and the power to make sure that whatever is passed, or even regulations that are written as best as they possibly can do, protects their interests. So that's one reason. It's because of money and politics when you get right down to it. And it's just something that we cannot, as a country, continue to tolerate. It gives these big corporations the power that they've actually stolen from us. It's the main reason I'm starting Tarbell, is to shine a light on just exactly that, to help people understand how our power has been stolen, and to pull no punches. to your first question, it is so incredibly complicated. I don't know that we've got time to really explain how that would work. You've got these levels of coverage, the gold, the silver, the bronze, and people are just often baffled about what's covered under each plan, how much does these cost, what's my out-of-pocket expenses going to be, if my income, if I make a dollar more than a certain amount, then I won't get any subsidies at all. Sam, it's just absolutely preposterous and ludicrous if something like that is set up, something that complex, but it's what we got.
All right. Well, so, I mean, I guess it remains to be seen. The key, I guess, takeaway from this is that the level of uncertainty is going to make it continually less attractive to insurance companies to even be in the individual market, for which for a lot of them, it's not profitable at all anyways. Right. And so,
And so
how shaky does it make this already shaky part of the entire Obamacare, if you will?
It makes it much more, much shakier. There are a number of insurance companies that really want to serve this market, and most of them, quite frankly, are the nonprofit health insurance plans. Most of the big for-profits, like the ones I used to work for, have already bailed out because their shareholders want to have a certain profit margin. If that's not being met on every book of business within their portfolio, they pressure the companies to change. And that's why you've seen such an exodus from the markets of these big insurance companies. A lot of those that remain are nonprofit Blue Cross plans, Kaiser Permanente, and others in New England and around the country that are not as driven by the demands of investors. So they want to stay in and do this to cover this population. And keep in mind, we're talking about a relatively small percentage of the population here.
Right.
People who have to buy coverage through the individual market. We're not talking about the vast majority of people. So there are a lot of insurance companies that remain want to stay in there, and make a good faith effort to provide the coverage that's valuable to the people that depend on them. This can make it more difficult for them because they will, there's no doubt, have to raise premiums and shift more of the cost to people if this goes forward. Now, some people may benefit. People who are younger and healthier and certain income levels can claim that they probably are benefiting if this goes through. But the vast majority of people who don't make a lot of money, people who've had some illness in the past, people who are getting older, they're not going to benefit from this in any meaningful way and probably will be significantly hurt. Now, insurance companies for 2018, a lot of them just anticipated this craziness and anticipated that, they knew the market was uncertain. And so they jacked up their premiums. Premiums are actually higher for 2018 because of the uncertainty of what the administration and Congress might do. So they already baked in, if you will.
They're literally insuring
that
themselves.
Are higher.
They're literally insuring themselves from the chance that there's going to be less, less clients, less customers, and less subsidies for those customers. And I imagine, too, they're also looking at the huge cuts in the navigators, who are the people who are supposed to help people get into the program, and they're realizing we're going to have a huge loss in signups.
Well, it's absolutely the case. They've cut funding for the navigators. They've cut funding from advertising to have people be more aware of the marketplace and when to sign up, and so all that's being eliminated. I think it's long past due for people to start referring to this as Trump care, because it is that, with these changes and this uncertainty, the actions they're taking, the money they're stripping out, it's changed it so significantly that it doesn't bear a lot of resemblance to what we have always called Obamacare.
All right. Well, anything else that you think we should know at this point, Wendell, aside from the fact that a single payer system would be much better?
Well, I think it's going to be incumbent on the media, and I know you do an excellent job, Sam, but I hope that others in the media will follow this and report on how this affects real people, I have talked to so many people over the years who've benefited from being able at long last to buy coverage. And a lot of those folks are just not going to be able to do it anymore. People are going to die because they just don't have the money to enroll in a health care plan. And we're going to see health care providers being hurt because we'll once again see high levels of uncompensated care in hospitals. It has ripple effects. And I think it's going to be very important for all of us to keep a close watch on how those ripples affect our healthcare system, our healthcare providers and individuals and families.
Not to mention, we're going to see that rate of bankruptcy, personal bankruptcy, shoot back up. I mean, I think half of all bankruptcies used to be from medical costs, and I think half of those were cut, essentially. The rate of bankruptcy was cut, personal bankruptcy, under this system, as flawed as it is. Wendell, thanks so much. Good luck with Tarbell.org. I'm very excited to
thank you,
see
Sam.
What you guys are going to produce. I'm a big
appreciate
fan
it very much.
All right.
I appreciate the fan of yours. Thank you.
Wendell Potter, thanks again. All right, folks. Happy Monday. At least there's no nuclear war yet. Still got time. Still time. So much time. So much time for that probably won't kick in till Wednesday, but at that point I will be in Las Vegas. And speaking of which, here's what the weekly schedule will be this week. Tomorrow we'll have an interview with Corey Robin. Michael will do the fun half.
Corey Robin.
And then on Wednesday, members only day, we're bringing that back, just like Prince Spaghetti. People remember that?
No.
Just blank faces.
What is that?
Wednesday's Prince Spaghetti Day. And in what part of Boston? Boston's North End. You don't remember those commercials?
No, dude.
All right. And Thursday and Friday, I will be in Las Vegas, Nevada, interviewing attorneys. We're going to be doing, there's a huge blockbuster story about opioids in 60 Minutes in Washington Post. And if you've been a regular listener to this program, you have heard about what the pharmaceutical companies have done and their culpability in this accord for at least a couple of years, because there's always attorneys down there who are pursuing cases about opioids. I'm going to be talking to a couple of attorneys about that. And then who knows what other cases we're going to find when we're down there. I'm trying to secure the attorneys who are suing the bump butt makers from the shooting that took place in Vegas. We'll be talking to other attorneys. I think who knows who else will be there.
It'll be Sam and attorney mode. Get all excited there.
Yes. No, I'm very excited.
Hungover. I'm gambling and there's lawyers.
That's basically
so exciting.
That's basically it. It gets a little bit weird.
Hello.
I've run into some very strange people there.
We've heard some very strange people from there.
Some I don't even talk about. It gets stranger, believe me.
You've said some things off air.
Folks, just a reminder, it is your membership that makes this show possible. You can become a member today by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. And we say thank you by giving you sometimes an hour, sometimes 2 hours worth of extra content every day. Also, it's commercial free. So there's no commercials, in other words, when you get the member show feed. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. And if you buy your crap from Amazon or you buy your crap from Jet, do so through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Click on that link, buy your stuff through there, figure out some system so that you always go through that link. I don't know how sophisticated you are with the web, but apparently these browsers have all new fangled things where you can actually just sort of leave it. Sort of make a replica of that link that would live in your browser.
be easy to access it.
Yes, exactly. And we get a kickback, thus majorityreportkickback.com. Also, don't forget, tomorrow night is this week's Too Much Brooks Show. Is that what it is? TMBS?
No.
The Michael Brooks Show.
Mm, there you go.
You're
doing that for yourself?
Who's going to be the guest? Do you know yet?
I am going to have on Mike Hanna from Al Jazeera and former CNN Jerusalem bureau chief to talk about Iran deal and the fallout. And then another guest on Catalonia.
Michael's having on someone from apparently a ISIS-controlled network. Is that right?
Yes. I wanted the ISIS perspective on the Iran deal, and I'm looking forward to it. And then Nando Vila, who's a producer at Fusion on Catalonia.
Fusion. Oh, I understand. Yeah. That is a...
It's drawn by Cuban drug traffickers. Want a trafficking and terrorist perspective.
Latinx.
The Zetas.
All right. Well... All right.
Very broad-minded.
You can also just sign up for that on iTunes as well. You can either watch it live tomorrow night or sign up for iTunes to get all your all the past shows. All right, quick break. 646-257-3920 is the number. We will take your phone calls and your IMs in just a moment.